All right, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Jesus chose the 12, the disciples. We're all kind of familiar with that. We need to understand that he continued to call people into ministry. Not just the disciples, not just pastors, not just leaders of parachurch organizations, but he calls everyone into ministry of some sort. And so we're going to look at this because we have an annual general meeting coming up, and we're going to be voting on some of our board members are going to be stepping down. Some of them have been on the board for 6 years, and so we give them a year off, and some are just, there are going to be some openings. I think there's four positions that are vacant this election, or this conference, or what is it? Annual general meeting, that's what it is. And so it's not just a government thing. Well, we have to have these people on our board so we can have a society, so we can give you a tax number. That's not the way I look at it. I look at it as choosing seven people to serve, people who are spiritual, people who will listen to God, people, and it's kind of interesting because in this context, and we'll read it in a minute, it talks about they chose seven people to serve tables. So, like, how many of you have been a waiter or waitress? I really like that job. I enjoyed it. Not many. But I bet you everyone in here has had a waiter or a waitress serve them. Well, it sounds like they picked seven people to serve tables. But when you read about their... Stephen wasn't stoned for waiting on tables. He's stoned because he preached the gospel. And each one of them, each one that was named, we don't know all the stories about some of the other ones, and we'll read their names out, but they were people who were filled with the Holy Spirit to do ministry and serve. That's what deacons are their servants. Actually, that's what all of us are. I'm your servant. I'm not the high and lifted up Dr. Reverend James Caruso. Hallelujah. Come and bow at my knees. Come on. The only person who's reverend is God. There is not a person on the face of the earth that's reverend. And that probably will fly in the face of some people. And I don't really care because I'm not reverend. I'm called to be a pastor. And that's what we use in our denomination to identify us. But that's not who I am. I'm the servant to those who serve. You are the church. You are those who minister. In Ephesians 4, it says that. It says that we are to equip. We are the minister. We are to serve and develop develop the people so that they can do their ministry. That's what it's about. So I serve you. You don't serve me. Servant leadership, which is a different kind of leadership than any other kind of leadership in this world. There is no hierarchical structure in servant leadership. The leader's on the bottom. Jesus said that. Jesus took the cloth and washed somebody's feet. Have you ever done that? You wash somebody's feet and it's kind of like, I had somebody wash my feet and I have toes that look like mushrooms. And at least they didn't have all the fungi around them, but they do look like mushrooms. And somebody was touching my feet, washing them, and it was a little awkward. Jesus did that, and there was lots of stuff on the feet of his disciples. See, that's what we're talking about here. So I want you to put this in context because I want you to pray seriously about who becomes part of the board in our church. Because we're moving ahead. We're moving into China. We're moving into different parts of the world. We need wisdom. We need spiritual wisdom. We're going to build some buildings here. We're going to reach out in our world in different ways. We need people who can see in the spirit what's going on. We can hire architects and we can hire builders and we can hire all those people. We can't hire anybody spiritual. We can only believe that God will call them into these positions. And we have a tremendous board right now. They've walked through some things over the years. They are an awesome group of people. And we have dialogues back and forth. I don't get my own way all the time. And that's good. Because my way isn't always the best. I think it is, but then I'm alone sometimes in that thinking. But I do love the way that they can interact. And we want the best for God through RPC. This is a tool. This is a corner of the vineyard. And so we need good, strong spiritual leadership. And we're so blessed to have such a team. We have such a team as in our staff. We have phenomenal leadership in our staff. We have great, phenomenal leadership in our board. And because of the way we govern, we need to allow for changes there. So please, please, prayerfully consider what God puts on your heart for nominations. Let's look at this book here, Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So there was a food fight. There was a big lineups. You ever get a little tension in the lineups? You know, well, you're getting potatoes with yours, and I'm getting spinach. I don't know whether it was like that or not, but it was there was this tension that you're not serving us as well as you're serving them. And these are the disciples. So the 12 spiritual people who were with Jesus gathered the disciples together. Who are the disciples? People who follow Jesus. What are we going to do at our AGM? We're going to gather the people who are members together, and we're going to say, hey, we need some help here. They said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. We can't do it all. We need to know what we're called to do, and then we need to do it well. Right? Do you know that every person in this room that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior has a call on their life? Do you know that? Some of you might not like that. Take it up with Him. I did. I didn't like the idea of being called as a pastor. I was quite happy being a paramedic. I had a better pension. I had all the nice things, perks. And I just actually told Him, leave me alone. Don't mess my life up. Would you ever say that to God? You can if you want. It won't make any difference. You'll still do what He wants you to do. But it's at least you got a voice. So He said in verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men. And we kind of put that into kind of a legalistic form. And so 7 men, please understand that Christ has made each and every one of us equal. So we want 7 people. We want men and women. If we have 4 women fill that board, that's fine. My son-in-law, Jazz, when he went to Gibson's, he had all women on his board. It was all girls band. And it was different. But it was great, and it's great. We got Val on our board now, and we need more women on our board. Not that we don't need more guys on our board. What I'm saying is that there's a good balance there. And if you're called to lead, don't nominate yourself, but pray that God will nominate you through someone, okay? Because that's not good. Nomination, blah, 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 who's sent it? Me. That's not good, okay? Choose 7 among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. That's the criteria. Don't choose somebody because they're good in accounting. Don't choose somebody because they're good in buildings. Don't choose somebody because they can teach Bible school really well or they can do this or that. Pray that they would be people who are full of the Spirit of God and wisdom. So some of you are going, well, that wouldn't be me. Well, you know what? If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have that. And what it's saying is just let that out. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Pray, give, and go. This is what it's about. We need to pray. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to join together in prayer. Pastor Clinton has different prayer groups going on. There's a lot of prayer that goes on in this church. Prayer is the key. If we don't pray, we don't go anywhere. Not on his power. We go on ours, but that doesn't last very long. If you feel that you want to give something, you need to pray, and God will give you something to give. And maybe what you'll need to do is you may need to receive something so somebody else is able to give. Right? That's a little tougher. This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. So they chose these people. Now we know about Stephen and we know about Philip, but we don't know the stories of the other ones. But do you know that Philip started by serving tables? What else did he do? He baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, right? So that's not really a table job. He just was open and full of the Holy Spirit, and God said to him one day, hey, take off over to Six Road, and you're going to find a guy going by on a Harley. This is a little bit of conjecture here. And he's going to be reading out loud while he's driving his Harley, which you'll be able to pick him out in the crowd, okay? And you just need to side up with him with your water sport. Anyways, it's getting to be a bad metaphor here. But they went, or Philip just went. And he got up on his chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he just said, hey, do you know what you're reading? That's not serving tables in the way we think, but it's serving God's table, the Father's table. And of course, Stephen ended up being killed because he started preaching and sharing the gospel, and people were gnashing. Remember gnashing of teeth? You know? That's how mad they got. So sometimes you get sometimes you get a good job in the kingdom, and sometimes you get the gnashing of teeth job. All right? But remember that God's always with you. Because Stephen, when he was being stoned, God opened his eyes, right? Open heaven, he goes, hey, I can see. I can see Jesus sitting at the right hand. Well, then more rocks came because they thought he was crazy. But the Spirit of God was convicting their spirit, and they got so angry. And where did Stephen go? He went right through that opening into glory. Right through that opening into glory. These flowers here represent two people. Like yesterday we had a funeral for Mike and Diane Jarvis, and they had a video of some of the pictures, and the last one was them walking down this pathway together, and you could just see their back. And it really, really touched me because, see, that's what they did. They walked down that pathway into glory together. It's awesome, and thank you for coming out and supporting that ministry. So they presented these men to the apostles who prayed, and they laid their hands on them, so the word of God spread. Hey, we're going to send Pastor Stephen and Jeff to China with a lot of Bibles, and the word of God's going to spread. It's the word of God that changes their lives. It's not the church services. It's the word of God that changes our lives. And if you have the word of God in your own language, printed in your own country, and it's handed out, God will change a nation. And we get to be a part of that. So I expect God to do some amazing things. He's doing them in Ukraine. He's doing them in Italy. He's doing them in Poland. He's doing them in every country that we are connected with. Kenya, Brazil, that's where we support. He's doing this already. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow, eh? Let me think of that. Religious people started getting saved. Honestly, There's a religion and then there's a relationship. You can have a religion and you can be really good at it. You can quote the whole Bible backwards if you want. And if you have that kind of a mind, you're able to do that. But if you don't have a relationship, you got to have a relationship with Jesus. Hang out with him. That's what it's all about. And so we want people in China, and we want people in Brazil, and we want people in Richmond, and we want people in Alberta, and we want people all over the world to hang out with Jesus. We want to get them to connect with him and then build that relationship on a personal basis. That's what it's all about. That's what changed my life. It wasn't religion. I was against religion. Too many rules. Religion. Too many commitments. Too many. Because it's man's way of trying to reach God. Relationship is God reaching us. So, let's look at how our church board is composed. This is out of our constitution. It says the church board shall be comprised of the senior pastor. I just like lead pastor because I'm getting, you know. My kids, we met with our kids on Friday and they said, boy, Dad, your hair is getting gray. And I said, well, it's actually passing through gray and going to white. But at least I have some. All right? That's what I'm excited about. I still love paying a barber. I do. It's one of those things. May not always happen. Anyways, it says, the church board shall comprise of a senior pastor and seven elected officials or members, seven regular members. Isn't that kind of an Acts chapter 6 kind of thing? The qualifications for service on the church board shall be determined and approved in accordance with the policy of this church, which is our local constitution, as guided by such scriptural provisions for deacons, which means servants, as cited in Acts chapter 3 and 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 13. The church board shall be comprised of regular members who are of good report and sound judgment. Wow. Got a good report? All of a sudden, it kind of go, oh, I don't really have that good of a report. Like last week was really bad. Well, not too bad because it was only 2 days that were bad. Five were pretty good. We're not talking about excellence here. We're talking about heart. Examples to the congregation in all matters of stewardship, church attendance, and spiritual maturity. Why is that important? Because you're a leader. People are looking up to you. People are trusting you. And so if you're committed, you will be a good steward, not just of your finances, but of your time and everything. And you'll be a support to the church. You'll come. How can you say that I'll support the church and not be here? And then spiritual maturity. You just got to grow. All of us got to grow. I'm still growing. As sanctified vessels are filled with the Holy Spirit or are seeking constantly to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, 4 and Ephesians 5, 18. We want to be like Christ. And Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit here on earth as an example to us. Do you think he was a good example? The answer is yes, okay? In case you're afraid that you might not get it right, okay? I'll help you with the exam here. Of course he was a good example. Did he find himself in some situation where other people said, you shouldn't touch those people. They're lepers. You'll get it on yourself. What are you doing drinking with that tax collector? You know that guy ripped us off? You know, like we don't like him. What about this little guy that was in the tree? This guy's a crook. What are you going to his house for? That's where Jesus hung out, and he never tarnished his reputation. He always came forth and gave glory to God. So in the same ways, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere. I wish Paul wouldn't have done this, the Apostle Paul, and not indulging in much wine. You know what? When we were in Italy, mamma mia, she's a different world. There's wine on every table. When the pastor goes, he makes his own wine. Yeah, and he puts it in 2-liter jugs. And when we go to visit somebody, he trades with them because they make their wine. So we bring flowers, they bring wine. And, you know, they still have alcoholic problems there. I don't get hung up. If you have a glass of wine with your dinner, I can't be the judge of that. Because, you know, medically, I understand that if you have some wine, wine is acidic, and actually doctors will prescribe wine because it helps in the aid of digestion. It's either wine or hydrochloric acid. Yes. The paramedic, I remember writing that out for the first time, and I didn't do much science in school, but I saw on the medications, HCl. This person drinks hydrochloric acid. Oh, that's not my favorite choice of a drink. But it has the same purpose, and that's to aid in digestion because your stomach is full of acids and it breaks down all the food. And if your stomach's been neutralized, you need something to help. Now, if you drink 2 bottles of wine before every meal, you need surgery. Okay? Because Paul even said to Timothy, try a little wine for your stomach. I remember talking to one guy and he says, it was just gooned. I mean, he goes, and Timothy, you know, Paul said to Timothy, wine for your stomach. I says, how bad is your stomach? You should see a doctor because you're gooned. You don't even know you have a stomach right now. So don't be an addict, is what it's saying. And it could be, anyway, it could be food, could be gambling, could be anything. Not pursuing dishonest gain. Be above reproach. Have integrity in your finances. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must be first tested. So they got to have some kind of, you know, just a little bit of experience. And then if nothing's against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, Paul is really good with this, women are to be worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers, but temperate. That means no wine either, or a little bit of wine. And trustworthy in everything. Well, I'll tell you, women don't have the corner on being malicious talkers, gossips, or anything like that. Guys can just tear somebody's reputation to pieces. They can spread false truths as easy as anyone else. This is where the tongue praises God and rips somebody apart. That's what James was talking about. So you want to be temperate, trustworthy in everything. And then it goes on to say, a deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who serve well gain an excellent standing and a great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. So, a deacon must be faithful to his wife, or a deacon needs to be faithful to their husband. You got to have a good relationship. You got to have a good relationship. It's important. See, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors at our house. I don't know what goes on behind closed doors at your house, but your spouse does, your kids do. And so if that's an area that you need some help in, God will open the door to bring peace in there. We've been through that, Elaine and I, because of my anger. And we had to do something about it. I had to do something about it. Must manage his or her children well and his household well. So, how does that work? I think there's a time when you can raise your kids and they listen to you. And then there's a time when you get to a certain level. And different kids are at different levels. Some of them decide that they're not going to listen anymore. And they make some choices that actually affect your whole family. They may end up in an addictive situation. They may end up whatever. They may end up with in prison or something. I remember one pastor had one of his kids was in the ministry, another one was in prison. How do you do that? You have to understand that you raise them, and then when they start making their own choices, you're not responsible for those choices. Do you understand that? Please release yourself from a lot of guilt. You have done the best that you can, or maybe not the best that you can, but you have done what you feel. And you've been praying for them. But there's a million reasons, and I've heard a lot of them, both Elaine and I as counselors, why kids go off the tracks. You can still serve in your ministry. But it's when you are causing all those problems in that family that we're talking about here. You need to be a leader in your home. So those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. So let's look at this in the message. I love the way the message does it. It's like this, the same scripture passage. The same goes for those who want to be servants in the church. Same goes for those who want to be deacons, right? Serious, but not deceitful, not too free with the bottle. Okay, now there's no problem with understanding that, right? Not too free with the bottle, not in it for what you can get out of it. You don't get into a church, you don't get into you don't get into a lead position so you can have influence to benefit yourself. That's a conflict of interest. So if you have a, like, just for an example, if you have a little business, home organized business, when you get into a position like that, people listen to you, but you do not have the right to exploit them for your own gain. So you can't use the directory, you can't use your friendships to build some kind of home business. You can't do that because your focus isn't on Jesus. I remember lots of times in the church, I met with people in churches before this one where they had something and they just wanted to bless everybody so that they could become part of their business. But the bottom line was, no, that wasn't the reason. It's so that they could make money for their business. And honestly, they wanted to do that so they could tithe. But that destroys relationships. I had a guy one time, I spoke at a Full Gospel businessman's dinner. And it was in Victoria, and this guy phoned me up and he says, "Hey Jim, can we come over to your house?" And I said, "Sure." Because I didn't know. He says, "I heard you speak, and I'm a lab technician or an x-ray technician at one of the churches. He's a security guy, that's what he is. No, he's at one of the hospitals, and I was a paramedic, and I went into the hospital, and I thought, hey, we will have some good fellowship here. I met another brother who's in the medical field. Well, he rolled up to the house with his wife, and he had a three-piece suit on, and she had an evening gown, and he had an attaché case. And I'm thinking, who are these guys? He says, "Hey, I was the guy that phoned you because I wanted to come over and talk to you." And I said to him right at the door, "If this is Amway, get back in your car and go home." And he goes, "Oh, no, it's a business opportunity." And I says, "What kind of a business opportunity?" "Well, I can't tell you right now." I said, "Then I don't want to hear later." Doesn't work with me, the little psychological thing, because maybe there's no psychological mechanism in me. But don't try to play the little game of, "I'll be curious now." No, I'm just saying, pack it up, move it off. He goes, I says, "It's Amway, isn't it?" And he goes, "Yeah." I says, "I'll tell you what. Go put your jacket and your tie in your car and your little attache case, and you can take the little flowers off your dress, and then come on back in and we'll have coffee together, because I am not interested in Amway. I'm interested in Jesus, but I'm not interested in Amway." That's not what we're to do as leaders or even in the congregation. And so it goes on here. They must be reverent before the mystery of the faith. You need to respect the Word of God. You need to respect the relationship with God. You need to be bold with your relationship in Jesus. You gotta. Not using their position to run things. My goodness. As a pastor, I can manipulate you. I'm really good at it if I wanted to. Val's saying, no, you can't. All you are is a challenge to me then. No, we can. We can. Leadership can manipulate because there's power. There's fear that goes along with that. But that's not why you're there. You are the servant. And no servant tries to manipulate because that's not their place. Let them prove themselves first. If they show they can do it, take them on. Isn't that great? And you know what? We want to create a place that's safe. I talk to my staff all the time about this, or our team, not my staff, our team, that this has to be a safe place to fail. All right? Because I fail. And so we grow from failure. I mean, if you do it twice, it's stupid. You do it once, it's a failure, okay? It's a mistake. But you do it the same thing over again, there's something wrong there. You do it three times, and it's really wrong. But let's move ahead. All right? And it says, no exceptions be made for women. Isn't that awesome to be equal? We'll still hold the door for you, and we'll still be very polite, but no exceptions here. Some qualifications: serious, dependable, not sharp tongue, not over fond of wine. Oh, come on, Paul. I'm not fond of it. I just drink it. Servants in the church are to be committed to their spouses. Man, is that ever an example? When you're committed to your spouse, when you're not flirting with the waitress, please, if you got that habit of flirting with the nurse or the waitress or someone, you need to stop that right now. Because that just puts your wife in a place of humility. You are destroying your relationship by doing that. And there's something wrong. If you're flirting with somebody, if you're saying things if you're telling somebody of the opposite sex stuff that they don't hear, you need to stop that right now. I'm not just talking about deacons and leaders. I'm talking about everybody in this room. Because it tears your marriage apart. It tears your marriage to pieces. And it destroys that, and it destroys your kids, and probably your kids' relationships from that point on. Wow, I didn't even think I was going to say those things. Servants need to be committed to their spouse. Guys, look this up when you go home. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, Ephesians 5. Find out what kind of a guy that you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be exactly like Christ is to the church, as a husband is to his wife, or actually, as a husband is to his wife, you're to be that person like Jesus Christ is to the church. I'll leave that alone now. You need to be attentive to their own children and diligent in looking after their own affairs. So you have to do your own stuff. You have to clean your own yard up. You got to mow your own lawn, kind of in a metaphoric way, that you need to have all those kind of things that you need to do, and you need to do them well to reflect. Those who do this servant work will become highly respected, a real credit to Jesus' faith. A real credit to Jesus' faith. That's awesome. Because you got to remember, everything you do needs to reflect good to Christ. So we're going to wrap it up with this. This is the same three verses out of Acts chapter 6 that we started with. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men or women from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and to, I just lost part of it here. We'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer. They presented these men or people to the apostles who prayed and laid hands on them, so the word of God spread. How does that fit in? Like, am I just kind of jump-starting the AGM? No, this is the way we function in our church. Pastor Randy, if you come to the piano, your team. This is how we function as a church. This is what we need to do in our daily life. Whether we're in a position or not, we need to reflect this. We need to be respectful. Or we have to earn that respect. People need to look at us and see Jesus. Not because you talk in King James and not because you wear a certain kind of clothing or do certain things that present it. They need to see the inside of you. That's what's important. Because he never mentioned once about religion there, except that those who are religious found him and built a relationship. So this morning, I'm not quite sure where you're at. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you've been here 3 or 4 times and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus Christ and have him as the leader in your life, as your Savior, because he came and died for your sins, as your best friend, because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Have him as your counselor so that you can be assured that when you talk to him, he can bring healing and strength. That he would be your provider, that he would supply everything that you ever have need of. Because, you see, we need to depend on him and not on the things of this world. We need to depend on him. And then you need to realize that when you make that decision for Jesus, you're also saying, Lord, you place a call on my heart. What can I do for you? And how can I do it? And you're going to probably question the abilities or qualifications or quality that you have and say, well, that's probably for somebody else in the church and not for me. That's not anything that I said this morning. It's all about your relationship with him and being willing. And then maybe you're wondering, like, how can I live that kind of life? Well, you need to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You really do. Now, theologically, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And your spirit is reborn. It's where we get the term born again. But the Holy Spirit says, why don't you just ask me for baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then I get all of you. What I mean by that is that all of a sudden now you start thinking through the filter of the Holy Spirit. You start moving through you start speaking through the filter of the Holy Spirit. And you start living through the Holy Spirit, because all of a sudden now your conscience says, you know what, Jim, you shouldn't do that anymore. You've done that for a long time. You shouldn't do that. You don't need to do that anymore. You don't need to worry. You don't need to do whatever's causing you to do something that causes you to feel guilty or shame. You don't need to do that. And he wants to come into your life and make that totally different. Maybe you're struggling with something this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer here together. But first, everybody bow their heads. Nobody looking around. Really, I mean it. Just because it's kind of a privacy moment, even though Jesus hung very publicly on the cross. This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your whole entire life. It's saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and forgive me of my sins. So I'm just gonna say this out. If there's anyone here, everybody's head bowed and nobody looking around, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you never have done that, you know that something's going on inside of you right now. That's the Holy Spirit saying, it's time. You might not understand it. I didn't understand it all when I got saved. But this is the time to make that decision for the rest of eternity. So, if you would like to make that decision for Jesus, would you just raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hand up. The balcony. Anywhere down here. Maybe you haven't followed through, or feel like you haven't followed through with your end of it, and you did make that commitment one time, and you're here this morning saying, I need to reconnect. If that's you, would you just put your hand up? You're acknowledging, yes, thank you. You're acknowledging that you just want to be in that right place with God. He has never moved away from you. You need to understand that. So if you feel that you've moved away from him or he's moved away from you, he is saying, no, I haven't, and I will love for you to come back. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? This is so important. This is so important for your life. Thank you, Jesus. You put your hands down. We're going to pray this prayer out loud together. Maybe you raised your hand for the first time to commit your life to Christ. I want you to pray this prayer out loud and say it to him, not to me. Dear Heavenly Father, say it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for loving me. I thank you for committing your son Jesus for my sins. That he came and died on the cross for me. And now I receive that gift of salvation. And I thank you for that. I'm free from sin now. And I want to serve you. And some of you raised your hands because you've made that commitment a long time ago or a short time ago. And so pray this prayer after me. Dear God, you're my Father. You have never left me. You have never said that I am fed up with you, I'm through with you. You have always been there for me. And I recommit my life to you this morning. And I am free from sin. And I am back in your loving arms. Thank you for filling me with your love. Thank you for never leaving me. And I pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.